When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Riddle me that. The rest of y'all know where I'm lurking, yeah. Can't none of y'all mirror me back. Yeah, hear me rap, it's like Angie rapping his prime. I'm Young H.O., rap's grateful dead. Back to take over the globe, now break bread. I'm
ladies and gentlemen, it's 11:47 on a Saturday night, or an ungodly time in Australia. I am your host, actually co-host and partner of Katie Walsh on Miami Nice. Welcome back. Oh, we're so excited to be talking to this guest today. She's a friend, a long friend of One Heat Minute Productions. She shares my surname. No, we're not related. No, I don't have a sausage dog, Rob Belushi. She's an incredibly talented film critic, freelance film writer, culture writer around the traps in LA. Always has spicy takes. Sometimes when Katie's like, I'm leaving Twitter... Our guest today, Courtney Howard's like, I'm going to pour napalm on this thing and let's just watch the world burn. So it is a pleasure to talk to her. Courtney, welcome to Miami Nice.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to speak with you, Blake. Like, you're great. Katie's awesome. Like, I can't believe I'm here. I can't believe you asked me to be on the show. Like, I'm so excited.
Stop that. Stop. You had faith
long overdue meeting of the minds here.
Long overdue. You had faith in One Heat Minute when I literally thought that I was the only person listening. So it's a pleasure to have you back. So you were so kind to Katie and I talking around. And I think by the time that people are listening to this, we've already had the sold out Miami Vice screening as part of the American Cinematheque's Friends of the Fest podcast festival. But you were so kind that you were like, first person, I'm going to get a ticket. I'm going along. And then that brought back into my sharp focus, like, such as having so many podcasts. But like, it's like, oh shit, why haven't we had Courtney on the show? Like, we love the ladies who love Miami Vice. And so I guess right from the get-go, Miami Vice, tell us why Miami Vice 2006 is something that you were so keen to see and proud to share that you're going to see. And has that always been the case?
Yeah, I mean, all great questions. So I'm a child of the 80s. I grew up watching the show. Like, it was always on in the background. I wasn't like religiously, you know, watching Don Johnson every week or anything, but I watched the show a lot and I liked it. And so when the movie came out, you know, 22 years later or whatever it was, I was excited to see it. And it's such a tone, like, it's such a different sort of beast than the show. Like, you guys obviously know, I feel like I'm sort of treading over things you've talked about before, but it's such a different sort of vibe from it. But it all sort of tells this story of a changing Miami and a Miami in flux, even though the crime has always been there. So I think it's really interesting in that regard. And I thought it was just so different too, just visually, that Michael Mann is mixing up film and digital, and what a difference, like, he's sort of pushing the medium in different ways aesthetically. And so I found that to be really interesting. And so my first watch of it was in the theaters. I think I believe I saw it opening weekend. And at first I was like, I don't know about this, because I was so used to movies that had beginning and like middle and like definitive things. And this one sort of drops you into a crime already happening and a sting already happening and drops you into the melee and you have to catch up with it. And the end is really like, it still is open for other avenues and it's not ambiguous per se, but it's still open and not quite as definitive. I mean, I don't know, maybe that's debatable with you guys if it's definitive or not, the ending, but it was just such a different like narrative structure than I was used to. And so I was like, I don't really know about this. But then over the years, when it started airing on cable, it was like, drop the remote, sit there, watch it. Like wherever you were, like in the movie, wherever you would come in, like on HBO, you just drop the remote and start watching. And I feel like it's the case with a lot of Michael Mann movies, yeah. Especially Heat, like, and Collateral too. Like you just drop the remote and you just start watching. There's something about this criminal underworld and this underbelly and how he captures it. And it's just sort of compelling and captivating. And so over the years, I sort of grew to love it even more. So like, I think last month, I watched both the theatrical and the director's cut, like back to back. And then today, just to refresh myself, I was like, I'm gonna just put it on again. And I did. And it was like, this is just such a breezy, like nice movie. I love it. Like it's so great. So that's sort of my relationship with this. But I always find something interesting in it each time, you know, you watch it. And this time for me, it was like, what, I'm curious to find out from you guys, what you think compelled Michael Mann to return to a TV show that he produced and make it into something more cinematic. What do you guys think, like, I don't know, what was his impetus? What was his like mindset? I'm sure he's talked about it. Maybe you guys have researched it.
You know, it's so, just, this is not necessarily an answer to your question, but as you were talking about the show, being a fan of the show, or at least watching it, and then the movie coming out and how it reflects a changing Miami. Like, I feel like the past couple episodes we've been talking to people who were fans of the show and maybe didn't, like, couldn't get into the movie because it is such a break.
Yes.
With the, it's such a harsh break from the aesthetic of the show. And now all I can think about is like another Miami Vice sequel. I'm like, I need it bad. I need it so badly because we could have crusty old Sonny coming back, Colin, and you're dealing with the changing Florida, gender politics, right-wing fascism, Ron DeSantis, climate change, fentanyl. Like, it's such a rich text. Florida is such a rich text. And I just think I really need to see Sonny kind of mixed up in there and see what he's up to these days. But yeah, I feel like every 20 years we should get some version of a Miami Vice so that we can kind of grapple with the changing Miami.
Yes, I love that. I love that Florida seems to be like a great nexus point for the changing perspective of America, because it does feel like when we're in Australia, it's always like Wild West. And I don't know when I was young and it was like, oh, the Wild West, you know, it's always like cowboy movies, the Wild West, you know, it's not, and then, but there was a very distinct moment. I want to say it was like 20 years ago. It's probably around the time of Miami Vice coming out. I was like, oh, Florida, damn, like there's America and then there's Florida.
Then there's Florida. Yeah. You know what's, yeah.
It's so funny that that's the case. But the first thing I think of, Katie, when you said, oh, we've got to see Sonny back there, is just that beautiful press conference where the really sweet and innocent junket interviewer asks Colin Farrell and Jamie Foxx straight to their face, like, would you guys come back for a sequel? And they look at each other and the Academy Award winning acting of both of them going, yeah, we loved working together. We can't wait to do another one of these. And I'm like, they should have gotten Oscars for that answer, because underneath that was 6 months of probably blinding, like blackout drunkenness and ego and set fights and all of the other things that are happening there.
Listen, but they don't have to be partners anymore. there could have been a rift.
Oh, man.
You know, they could be working on their own. I just think there's so much going on. But you know what's actually really interesting about Florida? Because I was talking to a Miami-based NPR journalist, and sort of this idea of Florida man, where we're always seeing these news reports that are like, Florida man shoots alligator naked in his front yard or something.
Great Instagram. Great Instagram content. That's hashtag Florida man.
There is a reason why we get so many Florida man headlines, and it's because they have something in the state called Sunshine Laws, which is where all like records are public, so people can just like look at. I have to look into it, like let me double check this, but it provides a right of access to governmental proceedings at both the state and local levels, so there's just more access to weird shit that happens in Florida.
Doesn't fly under the radar.
It's all out in the open, like the bath salts, the crazy stuff that people do there. But I do think that it is a particularly sort of like heady place in terms of, it's very international. There's a lot of people coming in and out. Like obviously the government there is crazy. But yeah, there's just something about it that's very, heady and a nexus of a lot of things going on.
And to answer your question more directly, Courtney, because I think it actually feeds into what Katie's talking about. So we so much started with Miami Vice as a movie that Katie and I both deeply loved, and exactly as you were talking about, found a hell of a lot of comfort in. And I really do love a phenomena that, like, it seems rare. It happens in my house because now my children know how to use my remote. I'm like, don't touch that remote, or like, you know, whatever that whole thing. Or if you had a boomer parent, which most of us do, if you had a boomer parent and the cable or more channels came, every boomer parent liked navigating 40 freaking channels on a television through cable, and you're like, just leave it alone, like don't touch it. And so it gave me those feelings. But I think of this as Michael Mann does Ali, like he bounces out of The Insider, his biggest critically lauded film, huge awards presence, box office, great. Goes into Ali, and that was like a passion project because, you know, as a Chicagoan, he had such a relationship with Muhammad Ali for his entire life. He was so passionate about bringing him to the screen, collaborating, making that happen. That's another sort of awards-ish movie. And there's a little gap, and he bounces into Collateral. And I think what we're looking at so much now is Michael Mann had a Miami Vice thing in the shelves of Forward Pass offices for probably decades, like versions of that multiple times. But it's actually what Collateral unlocks in the changing landscape of Miami at night, and Miami being at a nexus point in the early 2000s, and the amount of money that's getting kicked around in the streets. I think all of those are like motivational factors, because we've kind of touched on it with a few of our past guests that Mann was going to do it, and he was uncompromising about wanting to do it. And I think it was just like time, like the industry was making those Starsky and Hutch things, and they were making Charlie's Angels, and you've got all those other things that are happening, and you've got Michael Mann excited, where the form of like, I have all these digital cameras, I can shoot in high definition, I can take it into a nighttime in a trailer park and shoot like one of the most dynamic and cool and stealthy, awesome action scenes. I can, you know, strap things to the bottom of planes, I can shoot into the clouds, I can strap it onto a go-fast boat. It's like technology, form, and like an industry demand, and Miami in a point of change, I think feels like the confluence of all those four events. And if Michael Mann were to ever want to come onto this show, which one day, Katie, he may, I would love to get Unhinged with Michael Mann and yourself on a podcast. Oh my God, that would be a dream. But I think that it's those confluence of kind of events that we've heard from on the ground, from some of his assistants and people that have worked really closely with him, and just what was happening in the industry. It was like at that time, they're like, does anyone have a TV remake? Because they're all hugely successful. And I imagine the studio would have been bashing down his door going, surely Miami Vice is time now. Like, Charlie's Angels just made $150 million and all this stuff. So they're expecting Michael Mann to come out and make this, you know, heat, but in Miami. And he was kind of like, nah, it's not what I'm doing, but I'll do whatever I want. We'll be right back after this quick break.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I mean, like, and he still sort of retains this, like, I mean, credit to him, whether he realizes or not, it still feeds into the same sort of like pathos of the show. You have these, you know, the loyalty between these two partners, and it still fits in with Michael Mann's, like, you know, overarching themes in his movies with how men and women relate to each other and how they're tender with their women at home. And, you know, they really care for their ladies. And it's just, it's really lovely in that regard. And he still sort of keeps this sort of gritty, there's a gritty aesthetic still. Like, the show is a lot like brighter and more like very much 80s sensibilities and stuff, but it has this grit underneath. And I think he brought that grit out even more for the film. And I know, like, just looking up just Wikipedia, he sort of considers this the one that got away. So I'm curious if he would return to it, like, in 2028, like after Heat 2 is done or whatever, whenever, to sort of make the Miami Vice of his dreams. Cause this one was like, I'm sure, again, you know, like, it was besought by like hurricanes and script rewrites and, like you said, egos and like all this other stuff. So without, if he didn't have those factors to have to deal with, and sort of all this changing sort of things that happen when you make a film, like, I'm wondering if he had his like perfect construction, if he would like want to come back to it.
From your lips to God's ears. My God. 2028 Miami Vice. Like, are you kidding? I need it bad.
But we've talked.
And if we can turn the conversation around on this movie enough that people will just be like, yes, we will make another one. Then
Universal starts knocking on the Ford Pass doors. There's a weird groundswell for a Miami Vice, too.
Listen, they keep putting out the damn thing on new formats and discs and Blu-rays and 4Ks. I mean, that shows that there's an appetite for this movie.
Definitely. And you're selling out the screening. So clearly, like...
That's all Katie Walsh. That's
It's all me. And I'm hoping... I mean, no promises, fingers crossed. I just hope American Cinematheque gives us an encore at some point.
A numb encore,
because I think that people would want to see it again, or for the first time, or whatever.
This is one thing that kind of Katie and I very particularly harmonized on straight away when we read Heat 2, and we were both, you know, good consumers of it. And Katie, I think, read the book and then listened to the audiobook, which was a great recommendation, because the audiobook is like a whole other, it's like the movie trailer voice guy reading you a story. It's one of the coolest things of all time.
It's so good.
It's so good. huge recommend. But when we were looking into that and the structure of that book is it's happening over a few periods, and Val Kilmer's character from the original Heat, Krisha Hairless, has escaped LA and he goes down into South America thanks to John Voight's character, Nate, to escape all of the heat of the first movie. And it's a Ciudad del Este story. And that feels like, if he's making Heat 2 as a film, a long, huge epic, like that is going to scratch Michael Mann's itch. He wants to get an outsider into this nexus point between different countries that's going to be traveling into that kind of Florida, Miami area. And his commentary is going to shift. And you could almost tell that was the impulse of the movie. It was like, it was Miami. Like, it's very Miami. And we had a great guest, Jason Fitzroy Jeffers, who like talked about like Miami Vice, the TV show, is like it's like that aspirational viewing that we now only do on Instagram, right? Like, you see someone wearing like these amazing designer clothes and driving Ferraris, and however your algorithm works, you're just like, Jesus Christ, people with money. It looks fun, you know? And that's what the show was. And he's like, about now, when Man came back, it was like what Miami is. And I feel like that's what Miami Vice, the movie, was. And that's what that's the dialogue that's continuing in Heat 2, the novel, and hopefully the film, is that like he's shifting it to those nexus points where all of these drugs and stuff that used to happen in Miami, maybe it's a bit crazier, maybe it's a bit harder to do it in the contemporary world to have these operations, but all those ones that are just outside of America but close enough to feed the drug industry, the crime industry, they just take a couple of steps out to another form of the Wild West, even though we agree that Florida is its own wild place. I feel like that's going to give us, it's going to scratch some of that itch, and it's going to, it's probably going to make us even more desperate for another Miami Vice that's never going to happen. But yeah, it feels like that.
Don't say that.
it's sad. You know, the one thing that I feel is like, because there's whispers, another Titanic American filmmaker, someone we mention on the show occasionally, Marty Scorsese, there's whispers I'm hearing that he's like, this is my last movie. Like, his next one is his last. And he's been saying, like, I'm getting too old, I don't have the energy anymore. And Michael Mann is not that, he's eight, like, he's nearly 80. Like,
yeah.
And that's the fear. I start going, oh man, if he could please finish Ferrari. We know it's finished. We've heard that it's great. Very excited to see it. But then the next step is like, oh, for the love of God, please finish this strike so he can make Heat 2. And if that's the last thing he ever makes, that's okay with us. No. You know, that's okay with us. Please, please do that first.
I don't care if a Michael Mann, like, acolyte or, like, one of his, you know,
proteges,
like, makes Miami Vice.
Yeah.
He could do that. I mean, that's easily, he could definitely sort of farm it out and just produce, you know.
Peter Berg.
Oh,
not
no.
Peter Berg. Soz Pete.
Why did you say Peter Berg?
Because he's produced stuff for Peter Berg before. Like, okay. he did Kingdom with Jamie Foxx. He did
Berg collabs are my secret shame. I can't believe I just said that on this podcast. Peter Berg and Mark Wahlberg. Berg collabs. I love them. Deepwater Horizon goes hard. Okay.
Yeah, it goes hard.
No one can tell me any different. But I need to stop talking right now. What about the guy, Joseph Kubota Vladikla from Tokyo Vice?
Yeah, totally. Rip, he can,
he could do it. Anyway.
You know what I want, though?
What?
I want, like, I want an exciting young filmmaker of color to go to Miami. And if they were going to do it again, I'm like, you know what? With if you... Because we love Tokyo Vice. Have you seen Tokyo Vice, Courtney?
Yeah, yeah. It's great. I really enjoyed it.
Good, good.
I almost think it's time. If you are ever going to go back to Miami, I almost think, like, in a HBO kind of way, like, wouldn't it be great if HBO could get a TV rights, you know, to, like, make, like, a, make an ongoing miniseries, like, True Detective-y kind of anthology-style series and get a couple of, like... I want to get some people who like escaped Florida and just can't wait to go back and make stuff in Florida with a budget and with a Michael Mann overseeing as he did in the TV series, like having such a huge fingerprints, almost like puppeteer, invisible puppeteer hands of how people should approach it. I would love to see that like next, you know, knowing that we may not get a movie. I think that that's, you know, I think we're ready. We're ready for
hot take. I could literally fantasy cast the like mini series directors like right now.
Yeah, yeah. 100%.
Barry Jenkins.
Barry Jenkins, number one. 100%. Yes.
Barry Jenkins. I'm going to throw our boy Jason Fitzroy Jeffers, Miami native, in there. Also, hot take, I'm going to throw in the director of Blue Beetle, Angel Manuel Soto. He's a Puerto Rican. Boricua fellow, you know, I'm from the Virgin Islands, so I feel affinity with Puerto Ricans, but I think he could be really interesting.
And
I like Blue Beetle.
I'm throwing in an Italian director who has made unbelievable TV. He's a phenomenal action director. His name's Stefano Sollima. He directed most famously Sicario, Day of the Soldado. He's a director of Without Remorse with Michael B. Jordan, which I really enjoyed. But the big one is that was the director of the Gomorra TV series, which is based off of the incredible contemporary mafia movie. I'm like, if you're making that movie, if it's Amazon that gives them, you know, feels like Amazon just go, what's your budget? And they're like, oh, 200 million. They're like, okay, here's a billion. And people go away and make shit. It's like
I don't think that's happening anymore.
No, not anymore. But but you know,
not post Rings of Power or whatever that show was. That's like, not happening ever again.
I walked out of there was in Australia, and I really like when they do this. When occasionally you get to see like there's some sort of cinematic TV series that they show on the big screen, and they showed Rings of Power here in Australia as like a film premiere that we would all attend, right? A media premiere. And I went along, and at the end of it, it just felt like everyone felt dirty and like gross. And everyone was just like, they're like, oh, so you're going to watch it when it drops? And everyone was like, I was particularly like, I'll never watch it again. I don't care what happens. I don't care. That was so bad. I'm like, and they're like, but what about this? I go, don't care. Am I going to go home and watch The Lord of the Rings that Peter Jackson made?
Yeah.
Right. 50 more times.
Courtney, who are you going to fantasy cast for Miami Vice, the miniseries, the directors? We're not casting any actors.
Cast. Well, I would go with I was going to say the Blue Beetle director because he did such a great job building
it. Excited to see that one. Excited to see it. It's not out. Yeah, it's not coming out in Australia for a few weeks, so I'm excited.
Pretty damn charming, and he gets a lot of like, it felt like it had a Miami flavor, even though
it's
Palmera City or whatever.
It's absolutely like Gotham City, Miami, you know, like it's the fake Miami. But yeah, he got it really right. I think he understands the culture.
Yeah. And I would say like, it would be interesting to see like maybe, I don't know, Karen Kusama or something.
Oh, yeah.
Throw her hat in there.
From your lips to God's ears, Karen Kusama episode. One Karen Kusama Trudy focused episode.
But also, like, I mean, she does crime dramas really well.
Mm-hmm.
That Nicole Kidman
Destroyer,
you know, like she's
into
that gritty, you know, corrupt cop, like underbelly kind of thing. I feel like she could nail that. I think that's a great choice.
And shout out to Jim Pinola, who's another great podcaster who did a show called An Invitation to the Invitation, which unpacks Karen Kusama's The Invitation movie. And The Invitation is like what Jaws did for the ocean, The Invitation does for dinner parties. And so I think that she's got it. She's got it in spades. Yeah, Karen Kusama, there's a great line. Let's have that.
There's another gal who does TV action so well. She did a lot of Breaking Bad. Michelle McLaren, yeah.
She did a lot of Game of Thrones episodes.
Yeah, yeah. She does, I think she does a lot of TV.
Yeah, she's great. She's
phenomenal. So those would be my picks.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we get a meeting with HBO?
I know. I love how we're just like, are we podcasting or like developing a TV series? Because
listen, Michael Mann wants to listen to this and just take down the notes and be like, done. Like, let's do it.
That has been another episode of Miami Nice with myself, Blake Howard, and my awesome co-host, Katie Walsh, and our very, very special guest, Courtney Howard. We have more with Courtney coming up in about a week's time. Until then, though, check out everything else that we're doing on oneheatminute.com. And if you haven't already, please rate and review the show. It really helps. And if you want even more stuff from One Heat Minute, other than the bevy of shows that are in our main feed, jump onto our Patreon and check it out. For as little as a dollar a month, you get our bonus Decade Project shows when they drop. You get bonus video podcasts of our new show, One Hot Take. So much to offer and access to our full community in Discord. Check that out, and we'll talk to you on another episode of Miami Nice soon.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.